Good evening, workshoppers. Here we are with another episode of Westmarch Workshop, episode 147, season 15 on deck. I am Nineball, as you probably have guessed, and unfortunately, Leviathan will not be joining us again this week as he is a bit under the weather. But thoughts and prayers to our good friend Leviathan. May his deeds of valor be remembered. You can always go through, hit him up on social media for updates. But yeah, he is unfortunately down for the count on this one. So as we hope him the best, and we will see about if he has like a P.O. box where you can send some chicken noodle soup over for him, so that way he can hopefully get better in time. Not just for the next episode, but for season 15. Because as we have found out since our last episode, we have the definitive end date and start date for our current season and for the next. So let's go ahead and just jump right in on that one. So season 14, you know, as we had an idea that it would be ending, you know, sometime early to mid-September from the post stating that we would have the, you know, like the end date for season 14 as that goal in mind. And it's going through and it's very close to that original assessment. And the end date for season 14 is going to be September 16th at 5 p.m. regional time. Not necessarily local time, but, you know, for North America, it's Pacific. Europe is Central European time. And I believe Asia is the Korean Standard Time, the KST. I could very well be wrong on that one. But just keep an eye. You probably are already aware of how your plus or minus on your own time is for your particular area. But it's going to be around 5-ish o'clock. And then when we go into season 15, it'll be starting just a few days later, where it'll be Friday, September 21st at, again, 5 p.m. regional time will be the launch of season 15. As of right now, they have not officially stated what the theme is going to be for season 15, but we at least know from Brandy's video from a couple weeks ago, it looks like these theme seasons are definitely here to stay. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they might have to offer. I know Leviathan is really hoping that they're going to be doing something a bit more than like what the Treasure Goblin buff is, but I'm thinking that it's probably going to be along the lines of something with another community, like one of those community weekend type buffs, since that's what originally the double Treasure Goblin was. And I know it's not flashy or big and like the kind of content updates that people are looking for, but I think it's just for them as they kind of gauge what they want to do with the seasons, that this is a safe bet for them because it's easier to roll something that already exists over than creating something all new. And if it turns out being popular, you know, eventually they will run out of these community buffs and they will have to do something new unless they plan on recycling some stuff. But this is something that we could go through and learn more about at BlizzCon. And, well, if they are still going to be having these, you know, 3-month length seasons, BlizzCon will kind of be towards the end of season 15, and we will hopefully have an idea of what type of content we will be getting or continue to get for Diablo 3 going forward in the future, from, you know, BlizzCon 2018. Which leads me kind of into the next topic, speaking of BlizzCon directly. One of the things that I have noticed around the community is that everyone is pegging all of their hopes that Diablo 4 is going to be announced at BlizzCon 2018. And I hate to be that guy. I kind of enjoy it. Being the negative Nancy is just brace yourself for Diablo 4 not being announced at BlizzCon. I'm still not convinced that that is what is going to be, you know, kind of like the big announcement at BlizzCon itself. And if that is like kind of like ask yourself, what will make BlizzCon successful for you? Is it going to be like, say, would like a Diablo 2 remaster or Diablo 1 remaster, potentially a mobile game, as people seem to use as kind of like a trolling response, and then I would imagine their faces when it actually happened. But what constitutes a successful BlizzCon for you? If the only thing that will make BlizzCon awesome is Diablo 4, I don't know. I expect to be disappointed, maybe. But then again, they put out that hype video, and it really has made everyone just like, this, what else could it be besides Diablo 4? And it is something that could be a little bit of a PR backlash if they don't. At least in some form or fashion. They don't have to like have a big like gameplay trailer and all that, but just imagine like at the very end of the opening ceremony, just, oh yeah, one more thing. We're working on Diablo 4. And then that's it. Like, would that be enough? Like, with nothing to show, but just to acknowledge that they're working on it. Kind of like the next Elder Scrolls game. You got a just like the title and a forest. What more would you ask for, And that was actually something when I was going through and talking with Steven earlier today. He wanted people to know that, tell the people I love them and that Diablo 4 won't be announced at BlizzCon. Well, so we're both of kind of like a similar mindset. We're keeping our expectations reined in, but do not get us wrong. Diablo 4 would be the absolute best. We want to have that announced at this year's BlizzCon. If it doesn't, shit, type thing. But we definitely hope like some form of acknowledgement that Diablo 4 will get something at this year's BlizzCon. Even if it's just an acknowledgement of, hey, we're working on it, and then going from there. And then maybe a kind of like a that end of life cycle support for Diablo 3. What are their plans for it going forward? What more can we expect from theme seasons? Are they going to be adding in any other character packs? Any other type of like level content, like the Shrouded Moors or Greywater Island, things of that nature. Will we get anything else? And moving along in terms of topics, of course, I was mentioning a little bit in the pre-show that we had Mephisto just got launched in Heroes of the Storm. And if you haven't tried him out, I definitely recommend it going through. He is a ranged assassin? Ranged? Assassin? A lot of his abilities are relatively close. He's got a skill shot with a wind up, so you kind of have to predict where people are going to be ahead of time, more so than a normal skill shot. And then his lightning nova is a band around him, and it feels like if you ever played a hunter back in Classic WoW or in Burning Crusade, and you know how once they got too close to you, you couldn't use your ranged attacks anymore. It feels a lot like that. And people were pretty good about either moving out or moving in, and like using slows or roots to keep me in place. But for the teams that weren't able to play around it, it wrecked face. Is a nice hero, pretty squishy, like no real survivability cooldowns, no like real escape mechanisms, except like your level 20 if you want to do the kind of the shade build. But a lot of fun. I really enjoyed him. Maybe if I get some time to stream a little bit more and play Heroes besides like the 3 or 4 matches I played yesterday, I'd love to be able to get on and stream a little bit maybe do some games with fans and such. Just be prepared. A lot of people are playing Mephisto right now. It seems that a lot of people were hyped for this one, which of course it's a Diablo hero. Let's all be honest. The Diablo heroes are the best. When it comes to like watching the HGC, I root for the team that has the most Diablo heroes on it. So that will oftentimes mean I am switching the team that I am rooting for in between matches as they pick and choose the different heroes and such. But it's come on, Diablo heroes are the best heroes. And also going through and speaking of Mephisto himself, there is a little bit if you're interested in that lore and story type stuff. On Diablo fans, I recently went through and published an article talking about some of the history and some of my thoughts on what could potentially go for the future of Mephisto. And also within that article, a link to a very old stream for the second anniversary of Diablo 3, where we had Brian Kindergan and Leonard Boyarsky talk about some lore and story of the Diablo franchise and a couple of questions about where it potentially could go. And it's something we've talked about on the show a couple times of what state the Prime Evil is in the Black Soulstone. And it was very painful watching that old stream, more so than it normally is listening to myself talk because I didn't have a beard on that show, so it was just, I don't know. No, sir. No, sir, I don't like it. So it's something to go through, check out. You don't have to click the little YouTube link in order to go and watch that stream. Just take my word for it. You don't need the source of the things that went through and happened there. It's really cool. You know me and lore. If we have some time, maybe after the episode, we can go and talk a little bit about Mephisto and such. That is always my favorite topic. And just a couple other things that we went through and we found. There is kind of some of the comic trade publications has started coming out where they have been showing some of the, I guess, potential covers for the new Diablo comic that's coming out. There is the Lilith comic cover that we showed on the last episode, which is not final, and I imagine that the other two ones are probably not final either. But it is interesting that the alternate art covers both feature Crusaders, and what that could potentially mean for some of the characters that are in the story itself. It is, of course, only a four-part comic, and it's going to be coming the week after BlizzCon's over. I believe it's the November 7th when we'll have the first issue. The last Diablo miniseries, I believe it was monthly, a monthly publication, and we'll probably have all of the details by BlizzCon of what they expect the rollout for the comic itself to be. We'll go and see in the very near future about that one. Of course, I'm excited. One, it's more lore and story, but two, it could give us a little bit of an idea of what they have planned for the future. Now, there wasn't a lot that you could really pull from, like, say, like the previous Diablo comic or novels leading up to the Diablo 3 release. But it gives you a little bit of a hint of some of the things that could happen. And this one, it to me looks a lot like they're going to be introducing Anarius and Lilith as kind of these main characters. We got little sprinklings of them in Diablo 3, a little bit more. We got to actually hear their voices in some of the ancient texts found in Pandemonium Fortress. It could be leading us towards using them as bigger players in the next game. And if they wanted to do something with any type of like faction related PvP content, going through and setting up a Anarius and Lilith would be an interesting way of introducing some factions within Sanctuary of people that might want to say, not necessarily fight for heaven or hell, but fight for maybe like a Narius in keeping the status quo of how Sanctuary is, how he envisions Sanctuary, or fighting for Lilith because, well, we want to be an army and we're going to go through and kick both heaven and hell's ass because we're a bunch of Nephilim badasses. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. One other thing as we go through, I probably should have covered this a little bit earlier, but one of the big things that will also be coming up with the season 15 launch is Wolfcryer's Level with the Cause. And now this one actually has like a full-blown website that you can go through and get more information on of everything that's going to be going on, with the Level with the Cause. It's got links if you want to go through, join, the links to all of the community members that are involved, and it's a really, really great movement, a really awesome charity that Wolfcryer always goes through and does with every season launch lately. So please, by all means, go through, check it out. If you are, an influencer in any form, shape, or way, even if you just stream and have like 5 viewers, go through and think about joining the Level with the Cause in order to help out that charity. As well as, just cheering on, your favorite streamer and helping donate. It's a awesome little thing that the Diablo community and more has been doing. It has been something that's been growing to more so than just the Diablo community. And in past seasons, it's actually branched out. So that way you can do more than just Diablo. And you can, as long as it's still centered around the time frame of the Diablo season launches, but you can play any game that you choose to at that time. And the final little kind of bit of news that we have coming from these past weeks is from a couple of the conventions that happened over this weekend. They had the PAX West, where you could go and hunt treasure goblins as well as try out Diablo 3 on the Switch at the Blizzard or the Nintendo booths. And they were giving away this awesome, awesome Diablo pin. Sorry, almost said comic. This Diablo pin, which if you have any extras, I would be willing to purchase. Drop me an email at NineBallGamer on Twitter. Hit me in the DMs. That is just so freaking cool. The other pin that they had, which didn't receive quite as much hyper publicity, is that they had the Fan Expo in Canada, and they were also giving away an Asmodan pin at that convention, which is equally as cool, and seems to be having like this, you can see the theme in the styles of these pins, and it makes me wonder what they're going to have at BlizzCon. If they're going to continue that, have like a super awesome, like kind of like Diablo themed pin there. And then finally, forgive the poor quality of this photo, but the treasure goblin was around the PAX West convention. Sometimes within the convention itself, and a lot of times outside it, usually within a block or two, it was going around and they would post some pictures on Twitter. And if you could correctly identify the location that the goblin was at for like that limited time frame, you could win some gear, lanyards, t-shirts, and also apparently this exclusive butcher pin that you could only get from the treasure goblin at PAX West. And I'm surprised that I haven't seen anything about it. It was actually just going through and looking up like if there was anyone that had kind of like gotten the pins that might be looking to trade or something like that. And I was doing some searches, and then I found that they had the pin at Fan Expo, which they hadn't talked about. And then I had also found that there was that butcher pin from the treasure goblin. And it's like, dang, where'd all this come from? Why didn't they go and hype all of these things too? But so some pretty awesome little things to go through and check. Hopefully they will continue that and we can hunt treasure goblins or something along those lines at the BlizzCon coming up. And then the final thing, of course, coming up with BlizzCon itself is we'll have the Con Before the Storm, which I would love to mention that Leviathan and I are going to be a part of with their opening ceremony at the Con Before the Storm. So if you are going to BlizzCon, come and hang out with us around 7 o'clock Pacific, and then we'll probably have more details about where you can find like the live stream of the event and or the audio stream of the event later on. But yeah, definitely come hang out, chat. You can grab some drinks. This BlizzCon definitely drinks lots of drinks, and it's gonna be lots of fun. And with that, it's gonna bring us to the end of the episode. Not too much to report on as far as Diablo news and happenings within the community. The one final thing that I kind of wanted to touch on is there was an interesting post on Reddit that I found that asked a simple question. If Diablo 4 launched and was a good game, would you be willing to pay a subscription fee for it? And I thought that that was an interesting question, because that is, of course, one of the big things that a developer is going to have to weigh in on is, how do you manage your profits with long-term support of the game? And, there are, of course, many, many different ways. There are, of course, tons of games that do the DLC route, where that they'll tack on additional content for small little charges, maybe not necessarily an expansion, but something closer to the Necromancer, where you'll be able to go through and buy this, which will add in like a new dungeon or a new zone, and then they'll also have the character packs. Some will go the route of like microtransactions for cosmetics, pets, transmogs. And then, of course, there's, the method that Diablo kind of has had going for it, the expansion method, where you'll do the base game, and then they'll do big updates with, expansions afterwards. And it just kind of like got me thinking, what would the community like best? Because within that post, not a lot of people were willing to, buy into a subscription. And, regardless of what the quality of the game was, it was just that's too much like an MMO and like not even MMOs. Like WoW is the only one that does that subscription service anymore. And I was also thinking along those lines because like Star Trek Online, which I mention quite often, they actually stopped their subscription service and are purely supported by microtransactions now. And so it's just there's a lot of different ways that you could kind of like not so much monetize the game because you are going to be paying like that full sticker price for the game at first, and that should definitely entitle you to a fully encapsulated project or product. In that, a reasonable amount of updates afterwards. But then what about dang it. Lost my train of thought there, sorry. This is where Steven would come in and would pick up and say something while I regather my thoughts. But what would you think about like having continued updates? Something along the lines of like Kunai's Cube or the Shrouded Moors and stuff like that as continued development, continued product for a game. Where what would you be willing to add into the game to continue? This isn't being worded very well. What would be, I guess, your preferred way of continuing to support the development of the title that you enjoy? To continue, like developers support with continued updates, new classes, new items, new sets, and things of that nature. Is would As you know, some people are going through and saying in the chat, would you be willing to like pay like say $10 for a stash tab? You know, is that like the level of support that you'd be willing to do? Would you be willing to buy cosmetic items? Would you be willing to buy like cosmetic pets, pennants, or like a banner update? You know, something along those lines, something that you feel that you would, you know, be justified in spending money on. In terms of not just, of course, giving money to the developers for them to develop the game, but that you're actually getting your money's worth for what you're paying for, you know, for, you know, along the lines of a stash tab or something like that. You know, that's always going to be that you know, give and take. We of course do deserve. I'm not saying that it has to be supported by microtransactions or anything like that. You know, we should still get, you know, like the five acts, a full, you know, robust game and all that such through, you know, our base purchase. But what about content updates 3 years later? You know, that's the type of support that I would be talking about in terms of supporting through microtransactions. You know, where is it going to be? Where is the development cycle for the game going to be years from then? You know, or, you know, would you want to keep kind of like that expansion, like base game expansion style content update, where, you know, you have the base game, the 2 years go by, you get some really awesome, you know, updates and augments to the core experience, and then you'll get expansion that drops in, adds like a couple classes, a whole new act, maybe some new mechanics, and then a couple years later, another expansion and such. And at what point would you want them to stop the expansions and then move on to a new title? You know, is it something that you would want? And like, not comparing it to WoW in terms of the subscription model, but would you want something like WoW where it's like a living game that continually, you know, updates and changes itself? Because there is no comparing, you know, like World of Warcraft today to how it was at Classic or Burning Crusade or Wrath of the Lich King. They're very, very different games in terms of like mechanics. You know, just going through and doing some of those old school raids or looking at how some of the classes played back then. It is very different. So just some ideas and thoughts that you know, as a player, as a part of the community, should be kind of asking yourself, what would you like? And maybe those are some thoughts that you can kind of go through, you know, throw up on Twitter, throw up on the official forums, put on Reddit, just so that way you kind of are giving that type of feedback to, you know, Blizzard and the development team. And of course, you know, you can always send them over to us as well. We'll read them on the show, which you can do at westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. And of course, you can also hit us up on Twitter at the WM Workshop. But I believe, like I said earlier, that kind of brings us to the end of the episode here. No comments on season 14. I guess I probably should. We mentioned that at the beginning of the episode. But yeah, I hope that your season 14 goals, that you'll be able to go through and get them done. You only have a little over a week away in order to finish up anything that you were hoping to go and accomplish. Our next episode is going to be in the down period between season 14 and season 15. So I definitely wish you all luck, and we will go through and chat with you then. But again, if you want to share any of your ideas or loots, hit us up at westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com, or you go through and message us or follow us on Twitter at the WM Workshop. And we live stream here every other Wednesday at twitch.tv/blizzpro at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. If you like what we do, go ahead and click that follow button, so that way you can be notified whenever we go live. You can also go through and check out DJ Tyrant, Balrog Fan, and the rest of the crew on the BlizzPro Adventure Club, that they stream some random games on random schedules. And if you like what we do, or you like BlizzPro and our continued Blizzard coverage Feel free to go ahead and subscribe to the channel. It supports not just West March Workshop, but it supports the entire BlizzPro network with the hosting costs of our various podcasts and the website itself. And if you like what we talked about here on the episode, feel free to go through and check us out at diablo.blizzpro.com for everything that we talked about and more. Dreadscythe has a very lovely article detailing a lot of the information for the level with a cause, which you should also definitely be going through and checking out. The website levelwithacause.com, and give some love to Wolf Crier and everything that he's been doing for the community as well. We are also in game. We are the BlizzPro clan. We're pretty full up at the moment. We do have a couple emails for people looking to get in, and we will try and get some of those members in, welcoming some former members back into the fold. And then if you're just want to hang out and chat, you don't want to leave your current clan, by all means, look us up. We're the Westmarch Workshop community. You can also find some of us on discord.gg/blizzpro if you want to hang out and chat. And of course, you can follow us individually at I am at NineBallGamer on Twitter and twitch.tv/NineBall. And Leviathan, you can find him at LeviathanD3 on Twitter and twitch.tv/Leviathan111. And that is going to go through and bring us to the end of the show. We definitely appreciate you coming through, stopping by, and we look forward to hearing about your Season 14 conquests and your Season 15 goals. Until then, we'll see you later.